Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today's scripture is Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 18. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Thank you, Elijah. I know that wasn't a very encouraging scripture to read this morning, but we know God's got a plan for it. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we delve into this book of Romans that you've got us in right now, we thank you that your Holy Spirit, who authored these scriptures, is going to bring it to life for us, Lord God. So we want to open our hearts to what you have to say to us, how you desire to speak to us. We thank you, God, that your presence is here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody. So my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and I'm just really, really thankful to be with you all this morning. Last week, I had the opportunity to go visit our Every Nation Adelaide family, and I bring greetings from them as well. For those who don't know, we just started a new church in Adelaide. I went to their third service. Currently, they're only meeting once a month, and they have life groups running throughout the rest of the month. So keep them in your prayers. It's a very new church plant. How many of you know, like, it's really exciting to see that God's still planting new works despite us being in a global pandemic? God's still at work, you know? I'm really excited to, you know, just to see all that God is doing in our midst. And even here in Every Nation Brisbane, how many of you know we planted another location out in Logan? So shout out to my Logan family who may be watching online as well. Again, God may be bringing us through a pandemic, but it doesn't stop his work. He's still at work. And so let that be an encouragement for all of us that God's still building despite what we're facing. And then just saying that, we have a testimony. I have an announcement to make, but I want to do it via video. So this is an exciting announcement that affects especially our Every Nation Brisbane Central family. So take a look at this video. Hey, what's good, Every Nation Brisbane family? It's Nelly here. And yes, we have a massive announcement to make. So as many of you know, for the last 8+ years, we've been meeting in various venues all around Brisbane. And we've been blessed to do so. As you usually hear our dear friend Michael Cove say, we don't go to church, we are the church. The church is the people, and we've been blessed to see more and more people come to know Christ, come to know his love and his grace and his mercy. And so we're really excited about this new season. For our central location, we've currently meeting at QMC, but I want you to see where we're going to be meeting from July the 4th. Come and check this out, everybody. This will be our new home. Now, I know it doesn't look like it's finished or there's much here yet, but it will be closer to being done by July the 4th. So July the 4th will be the date that we will be meeting in our new venue. Meeting here in Koparua presents a lot of great opportunities for us as a church. We're right here in the community. We're still in central Brisbane. There are plenty of places to eat and fellowship and watch movies and play outside. There's so much to do here and so many people to reach here in central Brisbane. And so we want to invite you here. Again, the details are on your screen right now for our first service. Let's go. Praise God. Praise God. And guess what, guys? I mean, more details on this later, but that building is not just a building that we will use as a venue to meet on Sundays, but it's our home. Like, we have it 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's how good God is in building what he's building. It doesn't matter what the world may be going through. He is wanting to establish his kingdom here in Brisbane as it is in heaven. And so July the 4th, okay, Independence Day in Australia. I mean, Australia and America. Now, what am I talking about? Wrong country, gosh. But that's going to be our independence somewhat, like we'll have our own venue to meet in. So can we give glory to God for that? That's so exciting. We'll give you more information as it comes to hand, but like mark it down on your calendars and make sure you let everybody in your life groups know and everybody that you know that we will be moving there in July 4th. For as you could see, like our auditorium is about to be renovated. We literally got the keys on Monday, so we just started having initial meetings. Our shift prayer time, prayer and worship time is there every Wednesday now. So if you want to come and join us and come see the building, come pray with us, that's on Wednesday nights now. So you can join us for that. But I'm really excited. I'm really excited, guys. And I just really want to honor all of you for praying, for sowing faithfully. We've got a long way to go because we've got a lot to see God do in that building. But I really am excited about what the potential of what God will do, not just our services, but even in terms of reaching the community, reaching the city, and training up future leaders to go out from Brisbane into the world. Can't wait till we can travel to the rest of the world, eh? Shall we get into the Word of God, everybody? So we're in Romans. For those of you who don't know, I know we spent the last few weeks in a little mini-series, but before that, we started a series in the book of Romans. And so the book of Romans, obviously written to Christians in the city of Rome by a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. And so we looked at who the audience was. It's not just Christians in general, but there's two groups of Christians that he was writing to. There was the Jewish Christians, and then there were the Christians who were of Greek descent. So this second part, so this four-part series that we're going to go through the rest of the book of Romans, which will take us through to the end of the year. Don't worry, we will have breaks within this series as well. This second part is called the scandalous gift. It's going to make sense as we go through this week by week. But today, as we asked already, what has been the most helpful piece of technology in your lifetime? So I'm remixing the question a little bit here. What has been the most helpful piece of technology in your lifetime? How many of you may have experienced life without the internet? How many of you have experienced life without the internet? And I'm not talking about because you lived in the Ulu somewhere, out in the boondocks, somewhere where I'm talking about like technology was not advanced to the point where the internet didn't exist. I forget the year that the internet came into being. But how many of you were born and the internet was around? Like I was just thinking about my children. They will never know a situation where the internet was not available. You know, I've got my daughter Nazareth here and my other two kids, Zion and Jordan. It's amazing. If I want to get their attention, all I have to do is turn the Wi-Fi off. And it's amazing how they'll come. And it's like, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know why I exist. Why am I here? What is the meaning of life without Wi-Fi? What, you know, and they all come emerging out like little cockroaches. You know, if you want to smoke the cockroaches out, you turn the Wi-Fi off. Because we don't know what life is like. I'm just joking, Nas. But we don't know what life is like without the internet. Some of us would like, our heads would explode, right? Or how about this? Like, take it back a generation or two, maybe two generations before that. But like the existence of life without a vehicle, without a car. How many of you came in a vehicle to get here? All of us, right? A bicycle's a vehicle too, just in case you didn't know. But like we all took transport to come here. And how many of us can honestly say, and I would venture to say it's all of us because I don't see anybody here who's over 100 years old, have all known life with petrol-powered vehicles in it. I was just talking to my brother Cornelio over here, and he was talking about, you know, television being a piece of technology that, you know, like, that is helpful. But I was just thinking, you know, y'all kids will never know about VHS and Betamax. Y'all won't know the struggle, man. Y'all won't know the struggle of cassettes. You know, like we used to have to go, Walkman, right? Like we used to have to go to a thing called the record store or Blockbuster or Video Easy, and you used to have to make sure that you could access the VHS, okay, this is before DVD. Some of you are like, what's a DVD? That's how young they are these days. Like, You would go to Blockbuster and you would see the new releases would cost a certain amount. And then you'd have the regular ones that you can hire for like 7 days. And then you'd go, and then if it was a high demand movie, then you wouldn't be able to get it because everybody would get it. And then so you'd have to wait a week before, and then you'd have to reserve it. And you would never know that struggle. You'll never know, kids. You'll never know that struggle of what we went through. You'll never know the struggle of what it's like to have a cassette. A cassette used to play music. It's like magnetic tape that you would put into a device called a tape player, a cassette player. You play it, and then, you know, if your battery ran out on your Walkman, right, Dewey, you would pull out a pencil, and you would wind it up to rewind it, like, because there was, you know, like, especially for those of us who didn't have the device called the auto reverse, because there was a side A and a side B. So I got some old people just yelling and giving me more amens than they ever have right now. See, we now you all have Netflix. You don't even need to get out of your seat, go anywhere. You can just pick from like hundreds of thousands of movies right from your television now because you've got a smart TV. I was the remote growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I was the remote. My dad would get channel 2. Click, 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 click. And then if you go too far, you have to keep clicking around till you get in, click, 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 click. You know, and then if you didn't have the aerial, you'd have to straighten out the coat hanger. Struggle was real, man. None of y'all know that now. None of y'all know that struggle for us old people. Let's pray now. Let's just pray. I just began to think about like the pieces of technology that have been available to us. And what's interesting is that these pieces of technology are supposed to help us to do things more efficiently. But have you noticed people are busier than ever? If they're supposed to save us time, then why is it that we have less time than ever now? Have you ever thought about that? Because we spend so much time trying to be efficient, trying to get multiple things done. Have you ever stopped to think about where that's taking you, what the road is that it's taking you on? One of the greatest pieces of technology that emerged from Rome during the time of the writing of this scripture was actually the Roman road. So those of you who have not studied or thought about the roads that you drove, many of us haven't given it much thought, but we all took roads to get here, right? But the road and the construction of the road in Rome was really interesting, and how they would use gravel and pieces of stone to mark out roadways, because before Rome and their invention of the way that they would do roads and make roads, everything was marked out by just a regular treading of people. So say, for instance, if I'm to walk from here to Woolloongabba, then I would just take a certain way, right? And because I would take a certain way, over time, I would mark out a groove in the area of the field or whatever I was walking in, because of the way that I regularly tread through those paths. And that's the way that paths or roads would be made, is the way that you regularly go. It wasn't necessarily constructed as much as it was just a regular pathway from regular treading. And so when Rome invented this form of road as we know it now, and you'll be able to see it if you go to Europe as well, the whole thought behind the Roman road and its construction, ranging from like small local roads to long distance highways, was built to connect cities and major towns to military bases. One of the main reasons why Rome invented the Roman roads is so that they could get from any point from Rome within 10 days. It was a military strategy primarily, so that if they needed to go on a fight, at least they had the road there to enable their troops to get out as quickly as possible, whether it was to Britain in the northwest or out towards the eastern parts of Europe. This was all a part of their empire, and that's the reason why these roads were constructed. They were often flanked by footpaths as well. So they invented the footpaths, and then they would have ducts along the sides of the roads for drainage as well. So you can imagine, you know, like a lot of the technology that was created through the road, like a lot of the reasons were also commercial, because of the construction of the roads, you would have a lot of trade that would be able to happen more efficiently. And it would not just mobilize the military, but it would mobilize even the communication that would happen. because you had roads that the communicators or those who would send messages, heralds, to be able to conduct their business a lot more efficiently. You could get anywhere. Think about that for a moment. You can get anywhere. I know now, but it's not much, but like to think about 2,000 years ago, you can get anywhere from Rome within 10 days. I mean, that's major technological advancement for that time. What was cool is they had distance markers as well. So the invention of the term the mile came from the Roman period. Mile comes from mila passum, which it means 1,000 paces. So they would get the military and those who would build the roads to actually mark out 1,000 paces, which is what constructs what we know as the mile. Now, considering the mile and the kilometer being 1,000 meters, they had some mighty strides then, because the mile is much longer than the kilometer, right? So they had giant strides. But that's where we get the term mile from, because they would construct, okay, it takes a certain amount of miles to get here, so that they would be able to communicate back to Rome base that this is how long it takes to get there. Amazing form of constructive technology 2,000 years ago. This is a picture of Rome now. The Roman road still exists there, but it exists as a monument to the past. It's great to look at, great to study its history, but it does not function in the same way, obviously, as it used to. It functions merely as a marker of the past. And I wanted to ask you today, is your faith growing or is it a monument to the past? Have you thought about this for a moment? Think about this for a moment. Is your faith your own or is it because you were born into it? When you survey Australians right across this great land of ours, you will find that many of them will give you the answer that they are Christians, but merely because their parents were ones who had the tradition of going to church. So I'm a Christian because I'm born out of that family, rather than being a Christian who has their own faith. So their faith has become more of a monument, more monumental than it has actually become a relationship that's living and active. And for the people of Rome during this time, this is what had actually happened. Like, they had seen pride in certain facts, that they have this history that we've already talked about over the last few weeks when we talked about the book of Rome, the book of Romans, that the Jewish people had this history. Everything that we read about in the Tanakh or the Old Testament is actually alludes to the history that they had with God. And they have it all documented, this beautiful relationship that they have with God in the Old Testament. But we must also think about the history that the Jews had in exile, in slavery. It wasn't all sweet. 400 years of slavery in the book of Exodus and the end of Genesis. And then 40 years to get out of that slavery into the promised land. Exiles in Babylon and in Assyria for the northern and southern kingdoms. And we can actually mark out, not just from then, but even through now, the historical incidences that Israel has had to experience, but God has brought them through as a nation. Even currently, right now, we continue to pray for the nation of Israel and Palestine, as there is much tension in those lands. So when Paul writes in Romans 3, check this out, he says, then what advantage has the Jew? Because you might be thinking, okay, as a Jew, right? During that time, they might be thinking, well, what advantage do we have? Because we've had the scriptures, but we've had all of this adversity happen to us. So what advantage is there to be a Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision, which is that practice that they would mark themselves, especially the males, that they would be marked as a sign of their belief, as their faith. And what does Paul say? Does Paul say there's no advantage? No, what does he say? He says there's much in every way. Everybody say much in every way. There is much advantage in every way. So Paul goes on to say, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Now, what does he mean by that? For those of you who are fans of the old movie, The Matrix, he's not talking about the oracle that can bend spoons, that elderly lady that's in the kitchen just trying to trick Keanu Reeves. He's not talking about a person. The oracles are the written word of God. The root word of that word for oracles is the Greek word logos, which actually means the written word of God, the oracles of God. So they have been entrusted with the scriptures. the Jews have. Now, you're all in here, and those of you who are watching online, you're watching me and you're listening to me break down the oracles of God. You, those of you who are in this room who are followers of Jesus, have the advantage as well, because although Paul may be talking historically about the actual Jews, who not just ethnically but culturally have that advantage, he's also talking to all of us as Christians, that we have the oracles of God. We have this advantage. I hope you're catching what I'm saying here. There is this advantage that we have over everybody else that doesn't have a knowledge or an availability to the scriptures that's been made available to us. So catch this, everybody. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. So just because, listen to me, everybody, catch this. Just because there are Christians that have been entrusted with the oracles, have been entrusted with the scriptures, but haven't lived them out, does that deem God to be unfaithful despite their faithlessness? Are you catching that? Does that mean God is not faithful? Y'all can answer. No, right? God is faithful. How many of you can say amen to that? Like, even when we're unfaithful, those of us who are Christians in this room, even when we are not, when we've been entrusted with the oracles, but we haven't been faithful to carry them out, God is still faithful. And that's why he says here, let God be true and every man be a liar. I don't know whether you know it or not, but every time we sin, we are hypocrites towards the truth of God's word. When you talk about truth, or in the Latin, veritas, right, to verify, what we're talking about is something that you anchor or you center your life upon. It's the foundation of what you build your life upon. So when Paul says, let God be true, he's actually saying, what is the truth of which you anchor your life upon? Because there have been times that people have been entrusted with the scriptures for such a long time, but they haven't anchored themselves in the truth of the word of God. John chapter 4 says, those who are true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth, right? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So for us to say, let God be true, that means that he is the center of which we build our lives upon. What do you build your life upon today? You know, we live in a society today that says, oh, go on, girl, you speak your truth. Live your truth, girl. Oh, that's their truth. How many of you know that if I have a truth and you have a truth and they are contradictory, then something is not the truth? Because in order for it to be true, it cannot contradict itself. Did you know that? You're all good with that? You see, if I say that there is a refrigerator on level 2, and inside that refrigerator is my favorite dessert on earth, which is a trifle. I love trifles. Anybody else here love trifles? But like, if I say on the second floor, there is a refrigerator, and then that refrigerator is a trifle. And then my dear friend Joseph Lepore says, there is no refrigerator on the second floor, and there is no trifle in there. Pastor Nelly, I'm praying for you because you are crazy. One of us is not telling the truth, and I'll tell you, it's him. He's telling the truth. I'm not telling the truth, because there is no trifle up there. There might be a refrigerator, but there's no trifle in there unless by some miracle somebody brought it there, and I will gladly divulge in whatever blessings the Lord would lay into that refrigerator. But there is none. There is none, right? Because in order for that truth to be true, we just have to go upstairs and check if it's really true. Some of us aren't willing to go upstairs in our faith and see if he's true. We'll much rather take public opinion, whatever Facebook might say. We have the depth of a puddle in the Sahara in terms of our faith. So this whole thing of truth being relative, it's contradictory, because in order for truth to be true, then it cannot contradict itself. So when Paul says, let God be true and let every man be a liar, he's saying that there's going to be people that'll come around you and try to sway you from anchoring your life in the truth. Let me tell you The foundation of your faith must be that God is true. Christ is true, and that you can build your life upon truth. Can you imagine building a home without a foundation? And you build it and you're kind of like, well, I thought I put that foundation down there. I'm not really sure. Did you? Was that what you brought from Kohl's, the foundation? What did that actually happen? What happened? Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a foundation. But many of us will build our whole lives on a foundation like that. Is that actually true? I'm not sure. Well, my uncle told me, or my favorite celebrity put it in his Facebook status, so it must be true. But we'll build our whole lives like that when we won't build our real estate on that. Paul won't even sell that house, right? No way. It's got no foundation. What is your life built upon? Let's carry on. What then? Turn to somebody and say, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Sin is the great equalizer. As it is written, no one is righteous. None is righteous. No, not one. Not a single person. Let's carry on. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. What Paul is writing here, and some of you might be thinking, wow, Paul's writing, this sounds like a Radiohead album, so depressing. Like, what's going on here? What he's writing here, my friends, is he's actually, if you study it, he's actually quoting a number of different Psalms and from the book of Isaiah as well. Because what he's doing is he's speaking to his audience. His audience are Jews, right? And they have a knowledge of the oracles. So he's saying, you remember what your oracle said about you guys and the Greeks in your righteousness? Let me just take you back a few hundred years to the writings of David and Isaiah, amongst others. And so he throws out these phrases. And as he's throwing out these phrases, his hope is for the Jewish audiences that they will remember. It's not just about what I'm speaking now, but all those years ago, your ancestors heard these words, or they heard them proclaimed from the synagogue, from the prophet Isaiah, that no one understands, no one seeks for God. Now that may be relevant to the people in Rome, but how many of you can read these words now and see it's relevant for Brisbane in 2021? No one understands. No one understands who God is. Like, we live in a post-Christian urban city here in Brisbane, third largest city in our nation. And I know, having been to Sydney and Melbourne numerous times, that, we often get, called the bogan East Coast city. But we are becoming more and more metropolitan. Our city is growing at a rapid rate. You see all the new homes that are being built around the fringes of our city. And before you know it, ladies and gentlemen, this gap that lies between the CBD and the Gold Coast, or the CBD and heading up to the Sunshine Coast, you see a lot of the greenery. That's going to be gone in a few years, given the rate of the population increasing. Now, given that we are in COVID right now and the pandemic is affecting the rest of the world, migration to here has obviously slowed down. But believe you me, once those restrictions lift, there's going to be such a race to get here. And especially to the city of Brisbane, where cities like Melbourne and especially Sydney are so congested. And the reason why I bring this up is because when cities become a lot more international and multicultural, like this church is, we have multiple views. And if they can't find the truth because the truth hasn't emerged from the Christians, then where will they find it? No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside, and together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. How will they know what good looks like if the ones that have supposedly built their lives upon the oracles aren't actually living the way that God has called them to live? Acts says, the book of Acts says, how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? It's on us. Those of us who are in this room that are followers of Jesus, if they can't find where the truth is, like a mile marker on the Roman road, to know this is exactly how to find the way there. If they can't find it in us as Christians, then how will they find it? Does that mean that we as Christians need to be perfect? Absolutely not. But we need to be vessels of grace that people will be able to find their way home like the prodigal sons and daughters. But how will they know if we don't become the mile markers that God has pointed out for them to find their way home? Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. See, any way apart from the way of God leads to death. I know many of us in this room have experienced that. Like, we've tried going our own way only to find that it leads to death. See, the motivations of dead words are open invitations to occupied graves. Think about passages like Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells the parable of a man who sows seed. And as he sows seed, he sows them into like four different types of ground. And there's the seed that falls along the path and it's instantly snatched up by birds. And then he throws it into like this shallow soil that's there with rocky ground. And so it germinates and it grows for a short while, but then it dies because the root structure is not strong. It's not able to grow strong because there's not enough soil for it to grow into. There's not much depth there. Then he sows it into thorny bushes and the thorns choke out the growth from that seed. And then finally he sows it into good soil and it emerges and it grows and it thrives. And we all say, oh, I want to be like good soil. God, let my heart be like good soil. And God says, let me introduce you to the real BTS, not the Korean boy band behind the scenes, but let me get beneath the surface. And let's take a look at the depth of the soil of your Christianity that is unseen. The foundation of the building, any building you go to, is always unseen. How are the unseen parts of your life, of your Christianity? Because if it's firmly founded in the oracles of God, then it will germinate and grow and bloom in a place that will be a blessing to the communities around us in Brisbane. How is our life below the surface, beneath the surface? Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 46 then goes on to say, then why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? There's a lot of people that say they're Christian, but everything that's being spouted out of their mouths comes from a foundation that's within their hearts. It's totally contradictory. Speak your truth, girl. You can tell the condition of the heart by the life and death that comes from their tongues. You see, in the parable of the sower, the seed is the word. Like Jesus goes on to explain that every time you speak should be life, 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 life. But you get around some people, it's just chismes. Diba? For my Filipinos in here, it's just gossip, backbiting, slander, just coming out of your mouth like a Bunnings Garden Center department, just pow, pow, like durian seeds, right, Dewey? Just like bad, stinky fruit just coming out. And God is saying, man, I want to do a heart check. Because it's one thing to have the oracles. It's one thing to let the oracles take root in your heart. In order for good soil to become good soil, it needs to be broken up. It needs to go through a composting period where you need to learn to die to yourself. You've heard me use the analogy, right? I live in Mount Gravatt, and right on the side of the mountain, there is a graveyard. If I was to walk through, and unfortunately, I've done a couple of funerals there at Mount Gravatt Cemetery, but if I was to walk along the gravesite and just walk along where the gravesites are, I don't hear any of those dead bodies complaining. Ow, you're too heavy, you big Samoan. Like, what are you doing? Like, none of them are complaining. You know why? Because they're dead. They're dead. Oh, but get around Christians who are supposed to be dead in Christ, alive in Him. And it's amazing, just one little trial. Ow, it hurts. It's just like going to a grave saying, ow, it hurts, get on me. Oh, I'm sore. Oh. There's hope here, don't worry. Verse 17 says, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, God's truth will bring a way of peace that you have not known. I can speak to this, you know, as your pastor. When March last year hit, I remember standing right here and starting to hear how COVID started to emerge on our shores. And I jokingly said to you, to the congregation, this may be the last time we meet here for a while. And I was, ha, 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 next week, hi, welcome to Facebook Live. From my basement. God does great things when you're firmly founded on Him in basements. Because that, it's those sorts of times that your faith is really tested. And our faith has been tested. And I want to testify again, ladies and gentlemen, for what God is doing in this church. I mean, all we've done is just step out in faith and God's met us. But for us to have a church plant that just started literally a month and a half before this whole country shut down, our church plant should have shut down logically. But for that church plant to be healthy and growing despite all of this, that is God's faithfulness, despite our unfaithfulness. And just to, you know, visit a lot of your life groups and go to different homes and just to see the strength of what God is doing in your faith. I mean, I've been so blessed to just talk to many of you in this room and just to see all that God has brought you through. And it's been hard. Many of us in this room have lost a lot, lost loved ones' lives, lost finances, lost even just in terms of our own strength throughout this period. But God's faithful. God is so faithful. And to see us emerge out of this, and praise God, we've just entered into this lease of this new building. That's God's work. All He's looking for is a people who will just say, I will live my life and I will bank my life on these oracles. And that's what Paul's getting at here. The way of God is a way of peace. I can honestly say it's the peace of God that's carried me through this as your pastor. It's the peace of God that carries all of you through this. Your families, your lives. Do you realize how blessed we are to be here in Australia during this pandemic? Many of us come from countries that the COVID rate is still spiking. And it's not to dismiss that we're blessed just to be blessed. Of course, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's the faithfulness of God. That's why I can safely declare to you today that a life devoted to God will bring you peace and fearlessness. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what the future holds because I know who holds the future. A life of that is centered on God will bring you peace and fearlessness. A life built on God will bring you peace and fearlessness. A life that is a family that is built on God will bring you peace and fearlessness in your household. Having passions that are devoted to God will bring you peace and fearlessness. If your finances are banked on God, I'm telling you, you will have peace and fearlessness. Your career, if it's centered on God, will bring you peace and fearlessness. A life built on God will stoke curiosity also from your neighbors. I don't know about you, but even down my street, I've gotten to know my neighbors a lot more because I was home a lot more during this period. And there's a lot of neighbors just wondering, good neighbors and some neighbors that might be questioning. For those of you who grew up here in Australia and remember neighbors, you know, you have a few Mrs. Mangles. They're kind of like,
what are they up to over there?
But I think that, you know, having a faith that is firmly founded on God will cause curiosity. And that curiosity should open up opportunities for people to receive the gospel. I'll dedicate this last point to all my young ones in here, but I was just thinking about it the other day. There's this Disney cartoon called Phineas and Ferb. Why are you old people saying, yeah, come on. And Phineas and Ferb, for those of you who don't know the premise of Phineas and Ferb, each episode we'll have them, they're two friends, right? Brothers, and thank you for correcting me. They're brothers, and they always invent these mad inventions in the backyard, right? They're always getting up to no good, and they create these inventions, and they have a sister, and then they have a neighbor, right? The sister's always like, Mom, they created a title sequence. So they're like, she's always telling on them. And then they've got this neighbor named Isabella. And she has this catchphrase. You all know what the catchphrase is? Come on, yell it out. Right? That's her there. She's Puerto Rican Jewish, apparently. What you doing? See, if your life is firmly founded on God and you build a crazy life that is so adventurous in Him and so wild and just trusting Him, it's amazing how your neighbors will come around you and ask, what you doing? Can they see God in your life? Can they see how active your faith is in all aspects of your life? Do your neighbors know? And not just your neighbors, but like people that are in your office, in your workplace, can they see what you're doing? What you doing? What are you doing? What are you building? Phineas and Ferb, it may be just like crazy rockets that'll go to Mars and back within 20 minutes of each episode. But God wants to ask, what are you building? What you're building, is it just a monument to the past? Or is it moving and growing in God to the point where this adventure that He has us on lasts for eternity and you get to help others find Him? So when they ask what you're doing, you can tell them about the Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. What are you building? The beautiful thing about the way He builds is He uses broken vessels to do His building if we'll just submit our lives to Him. Sinners like you and I, that have been saved by grace. And maybe you're here, maybe you've been invited by people, maybe you're watching online and you're recognizing, wow, I see where you're getting at, Pastor Nelly, and I'm assessing what I'm building, and it's not what you're talking about. And I want to submit my life to God today. So for those of you who are believers in here, it's a wake-up call for us to recognize what we are building. And for those of us who aren't believers in here or online, it's also a wake-up call for us to recognize what we're building. And if we will trust the Master Builder, it's amazing what He'll do in and through us. Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds this house, its builders labor in vain. Let's not labor in vain. Let's build according to the way that God has designed us to build. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to give us an opportunity to pray with one another. Pray with those who are around us, seated with us. Ask that question of ourselves, what are you building? And I want to ask all of you that as you're discussing this in your groups, ask the question, would you like to build what God has called you to build? That will open up an opportunity for you to pray for them to be led to Jesus today. And then I'll pray for us and we'll get into a time of worship together. But Father, thank you for this opportunity to come around your word this morning. Father, thank you for your word being just a way to assess our lives and recognize just what we are building. Lord, let every aspect of our lives be built in a way that brings you glory today. We're asking, Holy Spirit, for your presence to lead us towards your desires for our lives. Let us be built upon you. Let every discussion be built upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.